The definition of sign gifts is that they validate the authenticity of God's messenger along with their message. So when Blaine and John were giving words out, it sort of got people's attention. Like, especially if you're new somewhere and you've got this chronic problem in your body, whatever, and somebody calls that out, it's like, oh, God sees it. He understands what I'm dealing with, what I'm suffering with. So these sign gifts help us to know that God knows what's going on in our life. And he really does. And he doesn't want us to just pray and then think about it, but he wants to communicate with us. And he wants to help in healing or whatever it is that we need. So these sign gifts are very important to the body of Christ. Now, there are actually two pairs of the gifts that are often found together. Miracles and healings is one, and I don't think I have a slide for that, but oftentimes when we're praying for people for healing, say that you had a what can I use for an example? You had a busted hand, then you need healing for a busted hand, broken hand. God wants to mend that. And we actually have seen things like that happen. And so we want God to be able to heal us. Now, if we didn't have a hand at all, we would need a real miracle to have it grow back. And I have not personally seen this, but I have heard reports of that kind of thing. And so God does what God needs to do to heal his people. He's designed us in a very healthy, special way. And through either circumstances in the world, us screwing ourselves up or whatever it is, we end up with need for healing and need for God to work in our lives. Sometimes that's an emotional healing too. And the other one that of the two gifts that go together are the gift of tongues in a public setting and interpretation. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail of that. I have been in the charismatic world for 40 some years. And I think I've seen that particular gift half a dozen times at most. And so it's kind of rare, but generally when that happens, the interpretation is some sort of thanksgiving to God. It's giving God honor and praise. It's kind of like a psalm, is the kind of things that I've heard. So I want to go to the gift of healing. Now, I could spend a year on a series on healing and not scratch it, but I just want to touch a couple of things. Like salvation, healing is a gift from God. It's something that God has done for us. In Isaiah 53, the prophet says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted." Or in Isaiah 57, it says, "I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them and hid my face in anger. Yet they kept on in their willful ways. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them and I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners." God has, on the cross, died for us. It says that he has shed for not only our sins, but for our healing. By his stripes, which came from the beating, we have received healing. And then God has done it not because we deserve it or because he owes it to us, but simply because he wants us whole and well. He wants his people to be able to receive, again, what they need to receive. I sometimes see when people are praying for others here, like in church or something, and they feel like they have to make a deal with God. Like, oh Lord, this person is such a good person, you must have to heal him. Or, Lord, this person's working in children's ministry and you really need owe it to them to heal. That isn't the way God works. God works by just coming in, deserve it or not, good person, bad person, he just wants to heal his people if we turn to him. So we need to understand that. And the other thing I want to mention about healing is that he wants to heal our whole body, our whole self, not even just our body, but he does want to heal our body, but he wants to heal our mind, our emotions, our heart. He wants to heal every part of us and make us whole and well. He wants to heal our finances. He wants to heal and give us peace in our heart. It's a total healing. Jeremiah 33 says, "Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people, and I will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." For some of us, healing, what we need the most, is peace and security. We end up oftentimes in a real worry state, wondering what God's going to do, how he's going to help us. We really need to know and trust him to be able to heal every aspect of our life. And so I know that when the Jewish people thought of God healing, they thought of everything. And peace didn't mean just feeling peaceful, but it meant peace meant good health and good finances and good family and good relationships. He wants to heal our relationships with one another. So these gifts of healing are not smaller than we think. They're bigger than what we think. We most of the time don't have the vision to see how much he really wants to do in our lives. Now, on the miracles, I won't speak too much about the miracles. I think they're kind of self-explanatory. But one of the things you just need to know about the gift of miracles is that God can bend, break, change, and create something out of nothing, whatever he needs to get his way, to do what he calls us or what he wants for us. I've heard all kinds of stories of money showing up for people. I think I heard something from Manny this week on that. And I don't mind if you want to jump in on that a second.
I just shared that, you know, just out of the blue, I received a check in the mail that was unexpected, was very timely. And we had been praying, you know, previous week before that for those kinds of things. And so, you know, I was just sharing with the worship team, you know, as a praise report, you know, to pray for these kinds of provisions and God, you know, just shows up and does things that unexpectedly, and it was sure a blessing.
Now, in the gift of tongues with interpretation, 1 Corinthians 12 says to us, "And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues." And so there are gifts of the Holy Spirit of tongues, which is our own personal prayer language. It's just for us. It's actually the only gift that's for ourselves. All these other gifts are, as I've said in the past, to be given away, to be shared, to be for others. And so that's gift of tongues where we pray out. Somebody prays like a prophetic word. That's what they're talking about here, to have interpretation with it. I've also heard the gift of tongues. If any of you have been to the, at least I've seen in the old charismatic and I think sometimes Pentecostal churches, there's a worship that just rises up out of the people and they're all singing in tongues. And again, it's us to be able to speak to God and for God to be able to touch our hearts with this gift. In the Vineyard, we haven't in the past used the gift of tongues in our services that much. Holy Spirit may change that, but that's where we are right now. The rest of it, the gift of tongues for ourselves, of prayer, I'm going to touch in a future sermon. So I don't want to go into great detail. The two other gifts that I wanted to look at, one is the gift of discernment of spirits. Now, I don't know if how familiar any of you are with the whole world, the spiritual world of the demonic versus the Spirit of God, but there's gifts. Some people are gifted with a gift of discernment of spirits where they know something is coming that is either from God or not from God. It's important for someone like pastors to be able to discern what's happening with people. But I've had people in the church speak out to me and say, you realize there's just some sort of spiritual element behind what's going on. I see it sometimes really in some negative situations where there's dissension or division in a church. And there seems to be almost a spiritual element. And it's not almost, it is a spiritual element. And as a people, we can just bind that because demons are real. I don't want to glorify them or talk a whole lot about them, but they're ones who affect our lives. And the good news is that they can only do in our lives what we allow them to do. We give them the power to do whatever. And that's why we get together as a people, is to pray, because the Holy Spirit, it's not like the Holy Spirit's a little bit stronger than the demons. The Holy Spirit is the winner, is the victor in all of this. And so it's important for us to determine when we're praying for people. Sometimes healing is a spiritual element. It's an emotional element. It's a psychological element. So we want to be able to discern as we pray for people which one of those it is. My experience as a very young Christian, I had probably been 2-3 months as a Christian. And a couple of the young men, this was back in 1971, so it was a while back. And as my kids say, when the earth was still cooling way back then. But I was a young guy, and I was brought to Christ by the preaching of a couple of young men who were what was called in those days Jesus people. They were sort of like hippies for Jesus kind of thing. So anyway, and then what was confusing for me was shortly after that, they went off and joined a group called the Children of God in Detroit. Well, that sounded like a really good name of a group, and I thought that sounded pretty good. What I didn't realize is that it was a cult, and it wasn't a Christian cult. It was a negative cult, and the Children of God were these, it looked like they were really all love and so forth. Well, we started to visit them a little bit, me and my wife at the time. It wasn't Paula, but... And what I found was something didn't seem right. Now, I'm a fairly new Christian. And one of the elders or leaders of this group came up to me one evening, and he just said, "Brother, I really love you." And when he said that, the hair on the back of my head stood up straight. And I'm going, what is this? Something's really not right. I knew the one feeling I had at that moment, which was to just get out of there. And come to find out, then later they tried to get my wife to leave me, forsake your husband and follow us and all kinds of crazy things. And finally, a minister here in town, a Baptist minister by the name of Joe Atkinson, came in and really pulled us out of what was happening. But I didn't know that I had the gift of discernment of spirits, but I needed it badly. They wanted to take my house that I just built myself. And it was something in which God gave me at the time. It's a situation where I needed to have that right then. And I got it. So that's that sign gift again. You know, remember, sign gifts validate the authenticity of God's messengers along with their message. When I got that gift at that moment, I knew God was getting my attention. And he was saying one word to me very clearly, and that was no. Don't go in that direction. We need that kind of thing. I mean, everything that the Children of God said sounded really cool. Give everything up and follow Jesus. Well, but they wanted me to give them everything I was giving up. And that was the part that I caught. Now, the last gift, and I've saved it for the end, that I want to share on, we started with at our ministry time, and that's the gift of the word of knowledge. And I don't hear people talk about it too much. It's actually hard to find. But let me give you an example that Jesus did. He had an encounter with a young man by the name of Nathanael. If I can go to John chapter 1, it said, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Well, Nathanael's response is, Nazareth? I mean, it's kind of like we said, we found the Messiah and he's in Brooklyn. And you'd go, Brooklyn? That's not where I'd expect the Messiah. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to them, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Some other translations say there is no guile in this man. He's pure, he's clean. And he said, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. Now, he didn't see him like at a distance. Jesus saw him in his mind's eye, like what Blaine and John were doing. He saw this. He saw what was going on. God had revealed it to him. What was Nathanael's reaction? Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, I believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that, which Nathanael joined them and sure did. He then added, I tell you the truth, you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is stuff that really is happening. It's really going on today. And as a matter of fact, God was gracious enough to give me a story because I had it happen in a fairly dramatic way. And I have permission from Christy Keeley to share this story. My daughter had a, Wednesday I think it was, had a migraine headache. So I took her to an urgent care and I'm sitting in the waiting room and my phone rings. This lady says, hello, I am from Life. And I'm thinking, Life? What is Life? Life. And I realized that there's a building out on Telegraph right in front of the mall that says Life across it. And I go, it must be that. And they said, Christy Keeley has given me your name as a reference. So do you know her? And I go, yeah. She says, how long have you known her? And I said, 7, 8 years, something like that. She goes, okay, great. She said, if you had 3 words to describe Christy, what would they be? And I said, ugh, I'm not very good at word games. I said, well, she's a phenomenal cook, but I'm sure you're not interested in that for your job interview. So she is hardworking and diligent. She's friendly and personable. And she said, that's amazing. Those are the words I wrote down when I did her interview. And you can see her go. So I get back and I get on Facebook, which is if you want to find Christy, you go on Facebook. And I find out she got the job. And then to my surprise, she said, yes, I believe cooking is my calling. I had said that first thing about cooking, that's what her job was about. And I really have a sense that God gave me this word of knowledge. And I think it was the kind, like I told you before, where you don't even think, you just say something out. And she got the job. And I mean, not just because I did that, but because God was working to get her that job. So he was speaking through me to that woman. And I don't know if she thought we were in cahoots or something, but for me to be so specific, but That's the way God wants to work in our lives, in a miraculous way. He did that not so that there's some good, cool church thing going on, but it was so that she could have a new job. God is concerned about these gifts of the Holy Spirit for us to heal our real bodies, to heal our real relationships, to be able to give us the finances and the money and the jobs that that he wants for us. He wants to give us these sign gifts that we can be a sign to the community that Jesus is alive, that he is real, and that he is really concerned about us in every even little things of our life. That he just doesn't show up on Sunday mornings at church, but he wants these gifts for every day of the week. Over and over again, he wants to work in our lives to be able to do this kind of thing. I'm hoping that stories like this can really stir your hearts. If you really don't know Jesus or you haven't experienced this kind of thing, we would love to afterwards just pray for you, that God would really be able to work in your life in the way that he's working here. I'm sure maybe you even have stories like that. But what he wants you to know is that he loves you. He's given his life for you on the cross because we're all screwed up. We all have messed up and have fallen short of what God has called us to. But he wants us to know that in spite of that, we don't have to be good before we come to Christ, that he wants us just the way we are right now. He wants our lives so that he can work in even greater and greater ways. When you see things going wrong in your life, it's not because God doesn't like you. It's because we're under attack or we're doing stupid things. And I don't know about you, but I do stupid things. And I need a God who can save me. He can save my butt. He's the one who can come and change my life and make it what he wants it to be, because what he wants it to be is what's best for us. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads, and I want to pray for anyone here. Just pray along with me. You don't have to do any big showy thing, but just pray with me on this. I just say, Lord Jesus, I just want to open my heart more to you. I want you to be able to speak to me every day. But to do that, I need to give my life to you, Lord. So, Lord, come and take my heart. Take my life. And I ask that you would work in my life. Make yourself evident to me, Lord, so that I know you're real and I know you're working in these many ways. I just thank the Lord for what he wants to do in this time, and I ask him to bless each and every one of you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.